John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We'll end our reading there. Well, it'll be helpful if you have that passage we read earlier in front of you, John 15, verses 1 to 8, as we consider that this morning. Does anyone know what this is? Shout out if you do. A branch? Okay. Is it a branch? Right. Well, the dictionary definition of a branch is a part of a tree which grows out from the trunk. Is that what this is? Well, it's certainly not attached to any trunk, and I'm pretty sure it's not growing. There's no life in it. You could maybe call it a broken branch or a dead branch, but is it really a true branch? Well, this is the question that we're going to be asking this morning. What is a true branch? In the passage we read from earlier, John 15, verses 1 to 8, we jumped into the middle of a long conversation between Jesus and his disciples. They just shared the Passover meal together in Jerusalem, and they'll soon be heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will be arrested and separated from the disciples before being put on trial, unjustly charged, and crucified. Knowing how their lives will be dramatically changed by this, and that their faith will be shaken and severely tested, Jesus uses his last opportunity to speak with them, to explain what is going to happen, and how things will be for them as a result. He is seeking to comfort them, and to reassure them that their relationship with him will continue, even though he is no longer physically present with them, and to encourage them to keep on in their walk with God, and to grow in their faith. As he does this, Jesus gives his disciples this picture of the vine and the branches. Jesus says that he is the true vine, and his followers are the branches of that vine. It's a picture that shows them where they stand with God as his people, how God is going to work in their lives, and what God expects of them. This picture is just as helpful for us today. It's so important for us to know where we stand with God, and to understand the nature of our relationship with him. So this morning we're going to look at this picture and ask the question, what is a true branch? What does it mean to be a true follower of Jesus? We'll firstly see how the true branch is attached to the true vine. We'll then consider that the true branch does bear fruit. And finally, we'll think about how the true branch will be pruned. I hope it will be helpful for all of us to consider these things, so we can know with greater certainty whether we really are God's people, the true branches that Jesus describes in these verses. Let's firstly consider then that the true branch is attached to the true vine. The true branch is attached to the true vine. What is a branch if it is not attached to the vine? It is lifeless. Branches depend entirely on the vine for life, growth, and fruitfulness. If they become detached from the vine, they quickly wither and die. Likewise, there is no true lasting life for us outside of Christ. He is the true vine. Jesus Christ is the source of all spiritual life, and it is through him and only through him that we can receive eternal life. This is not the first time Jesus has made this claim. In the previous chapter, John 14 and verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Here he claims to be the only source of true life and the only way through which anyone may come to God. Without him, we are like branches that are detached from the vine. As verse 6 says in John 15, we are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. By ourselves, we are spiritually dead. We have nothing good within us that would commend us to God or compel him to accept us. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We have all turned away from God and rejected him, choosing instead to live life our own way, to please ourselves rather than to please him. And in doing so, we have fallen short of the standard that God's glory requires, because God is perfectly holy and cannot tolerate sin. Just like the dead branches, which are good for nothing but to be thrown into the fire and burned, so we deserve nothing but judgment from God for our rejection of him. This is why you need Jesus, because he is the way that God has graciously provided through which you can come to him, be spared from this judgment that you ought to face, and instead receive life, true and lasting life with him. The well-known words of John 3 and verse 16 beautifully describe this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." In his life, Jesus met the standard of the glory of God, which we have all fallen short of. In his death, he bore the judgment of God, which we deserve to face. And in his resurrection, he conquered death so that we may enjoy true life with him for all eternity. This life is available, as John 3:16 says, to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, to anyone who comes before him, recognizing their own sinfulness and recognizing Christ's righteousness, and who asks God to forgive them and grant them new life through Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be born again. It is attaching yourself to Christ, like a branch being grafted onto the vine, and receiving new life from him. This life does not come from within you, but when you attach yourself to the true vine, Jesus Christ, his life flows into you and reaches into every part of you. Are you attached to Christ? Have you received new life from him? The true branch is attached to the true vine and receives true life from it. But this attachment to Christ is not a superficial commitment, nor is it a one-off event. In verse 4, Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." You have a responsibility to remain close to Jesus. You need to completely and wholeheartedly attach yourself to him and continually determine to remain there. Just as human relationships require active involvement and effort from both parties in order to be maintained, so you need to be actively and persistently maintaining your relationship with God. That means maintaining your connection with him. You need to make it your habit to draw close to him each day. You must be drawing spiritual nourishment from Christ by abiding in the Word of God and growing closer to Christ by applying that Word to your life. Also, you must be keeping up quality communication with God through prayer, laying every aspect of your life before him, pouring out your heart to him, declaring your trust in him, and committing yourself fully to him. And you must worship him, giving him the glory and praise that is due to him for who he is and what he has done for you. When you are doing these things, you are actively strengthening your connection to Jesus. As well as this, you need to be maintaining your dependence upon Christ. The image Jesus gives us of the vine and the branches helps us to recognize the nature of our relationship with him. The branches are dependent on the vine, but the vine is not dependent on the branches. The branch receives all its life and power from the vine, which allows it to grow. Without the vine, the branch is lifeless. So you are completely dependent upon Jesus for your life and everything you have, both materially and spiritually. As verse 5 says, apart from him, you can do nothing. Recognizing this truth will help you relate to God better. You will grow in humility, in confidence, and in thankfulness as you understand your own weakness and your dependence upon Christ in all you do. And as you abide in the truth that Christ's righteousness has been given to you and your sins are no longer being held against you. The more these things sink in, the more you will be looking to Christ alone for hope, comfort, support, and strength in every situation you face. So the true branch is attached to the true vine. You need to attach yourself completely to Christ and actively remain there in order to receive life from him and grow closer to him. Secondly then, let's look at how the true branch does bear fruit. When Jesus is urging his disciples to remain in him as branches on a vine, he emphasizes the bearing of fruit as the major purpose for this. Verse 5, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. In saying this, Jesus is telling us that bearing fruit is a mark of a true disciple of Christ. Where there is life, there is fruit. A true branch, united with the true vine, receiving life from the vine, will always bear fruit. On the other hand, in verse 2, we see that branches which bear no fruit are false branches which are cut off, since they have no genuine living union with the vine. So the presence of fruit in your life, or the lack of it, is a key indicator of your standing with God. In light of that, it's important to understand what Jesus means here by fruit and be able to recognize whether or not you're producing this fruit in your own life. The metaphor of fruit is used frequently throughout Scripture. One of the most well-known of these passages is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. Let's just turn there for a moment. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. You'll find that on page 1224 of the Church Bibles. Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 25. So these verses 16 to 25, are explaining how those who place their trust in Christ are no longer slaves to their sinful nature, but have entered into new life in Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit. And because of this, they are able to produce the fruit which is mentioned from verse 22 on, which we'll read. We'll read from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We're not going to look in any detail at the specific qualities mentioned, as a separate sermon could be preached on each one of them. But it's important to make a general point about what these and other spiritual fruits mentioned in Scripture are. They are character traits and qualities that are found in the nature of Christ. That is what it means for you to be fruitful. It is to be becoming more and more like Christ in your character, in your attitudes, in your actions, and in every part of your existence. There are a number of other things we should note here about the fruit listed in these verses. Firstly, it's very important to recognize that this list of qualities is called the fruit of the Spirit. This is not your fruit, it is the Spirit's fruit. It is God, through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that produces this fruit in you. This fruit is a natural byproduct of being attached to Christ and having his life flowing into us. The fruit comes from him and only from him. You cannot obtain this fruit by trying your hardest to produce it by yourself without him. That's why Jesus says in John 15, no branch can bear fruit by itself, and apart from me you can do nothing. It is also why Jesus can be so definite in saying that those who are his will be identifiable by the presence of fruit in their lives. because this fruit is not the sole product of the efforts of the individuals themselves, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and the Holy Spirit will never fail in his work. It is also worth noting that the characteristics listed here are not things which are quantifiable. They cannot be measured accurately on a scale. This is why the metaphor of fruit is so appropriate. Those attached to Christ produce fruit, not results. A machine or a robot can produce results, but only a living organism can produce fruit. And fruit takes time and careful cultivation to produce. A good crop does not appear instantly. Likewise, if you are attached to Christ and remaining in him, these qualities listed here are all being cultivated in you by the Holy Spirit, and this is an ongoing process that will continue for your whole life. You will never reach your quota of kindness. There's no upper limit to how much patience or gentleness or self-control you may be required to develop. In fact, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The cultivation of fruit in your life is a continuous process which will not be complete until you are made perfect in the presence of God in heaven. So, bearing fruit is the development and cultivation through the work and power of the Holy Spirit of qualities which make us more Christ-like. And God has promised that when the Holy Spirit begins this good work in a person, he will continue that work until it is completed. So what responsibility do we have here? Well, just as we'd seen earlier, that we cannot be half-heartedly attached to Christ, but we must put effort in to remain there by developing our relationship with God. So we must also be active when it comes to bearing fruit in our lives. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, which you'll find on page 1274 of the Church Bible. And we're going to read from verses 3 to 11 of 2 Peter chapter 1. So from verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your faith must be more than just believing certain things to be true. It needs to lead you to action. You cannot believe that the Holy Spirit will work in your life and make you fruitful, and not make every effort to learn and develop those very things in your life. Your desire should be to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, and so on. You should be striving to possess these qualities in increasing measure, as verse 8 there says. Jesus has said that bearing such fruit through the work of the Spirit is a sure sign that you are one of his people, a true branch attached to the true vine. So as verse 10 there says, you should be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure by seeing these Christ-like qualities developing in you. But ultimately, your desire to bear fruit for Christ should stem from a desire to glorify him in your life. That's why Jesus says in John 15 and verse 8, if we go back to there, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." When you bear fruit, you glorify God. You give glory and honor to the one who has given you everything. The true branch will desire this above all else, and will eagerly seek, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be increasingly fruitful and more Christ-like in all areas of their life. So the true branch will bear fruit. Let's think finally then of how the true branch will be pruned. We'll go back to John 15 and read verses 1 and 2 again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. As we've just noted, the ultimate purpose of God's people is to glorify him. And Jesus says in verse 8 that we glorify him when we bear much fruit. So in order to glorify God more and more, you need to be bearing more and more fruit. And this is where pruning comes in. A gardener will prune their crop by cutting away dead or overgrown branches and stems in order to encourage and enable what's left of the plant to grow and produce better fruit. Likewise, God, depicted as the gardener by Jesus in verse 1, prunes his people, cutting away anything that may be an obstacle or a distraction in their life, which is causing them to be less fruitful than they could be. The pruning process is often painful. The gardener does not only cut away dead wood, he also cuts off living tissue as well. Likewise, God may sometimes cut things from your life which were themselves good and fruitful things. But pruning, though apparently destructive in the short term, leads to much greater productivity in the long run. When living tissue is cut away, this is done so that the life of the vine will not be so thinly spread around that it jeopardizes the overall quality of the crop. Whole bunches of grapes may even be removed in order that the rest of the fruit will be of a higher quality. In the same way, when God, who sees the whole picture when you only see the moment you're in, cuts back or removes even good, fruitful things in your life, he does so because he sees the greater fruit which will be produced as a result of it. One thing the pruning imagery tells us for sure is that God's people are not promised an easy life. In fact, quite the opposite is true. Scripture warns us that believers will face troubles and trials in their life as God molds and shapes them to become more like Christ. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." It doesn't say if here. It says when. Whenever you face trials, all of God's people will face trials. And those trials will come in many kinds. Since every individual branch will need to be pruned in a unique and specific way, so the trials faced by believers will not be the same. There are many kinds. Some may face tragedy in their life. Others may endure persecution or injustice or poverty or any number of other trials. The main point made is that trials will come into the lives of all believers because they are part of the pruning process which all believers must undergo, through which God develops in them Christ-like characteristics. So if you're a believer, if you're attached to Christ, the true vine, then you can know that any trial you're facing has been permitted by God in order to allow you to bear more fruit for him in your life. You may not understand what God is doing or how it could be for good. Just as cutting living tissue off the vine may appear counterproductive at the time, but if you determine to remain close to Jesus during those times of pruning and continue to draw life and nourishment from him, then his promise is that he will remain in you and bring you closer to him and make you more fruitful so that you will glorify him all the more. So the pruning process, although painful, really is a tremendous blessing from God, which is why James says we should consider it pure joy when we face trials. This is not because they are enjoyable, but because we see the greater purpose behind them and recognize that God is doing a great work in our lives through them. But again, just as with remaining in Christ and bearing fruit for Christ, you need to be actively involved in the pruning process. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, Jesus says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away." As well as trustfully enduring trials as part of the pruning process, Jesus also wants us to be self-pruners. While you won't fully understand all of God's purposes for us, and consequently you may find some of his dealings with you confusing, there is certainly plenty that you can know from his word about how God wants you to live and how you are to grow closer to him and be more fruitful. That understanding should drive you to make every effort to shape yourself into a person who is more fruitful and glorifying to God, as we've seen earlier. A key part of doing that is recognizing and cutting away anything in your life which you can see is impeding that process. When Jesus talks about cutting off your right hand, he's speaking figuratively, making the point that you must be ruthless in ridding your life of sinful habits and of the things which cause you to fall into them. Don't tolerate sins in your life. Cut them out, even if the process of doing so is difficult or painful. For you know that such things are not glorifying to God, and you will be able to be much more fruitful in your walk with God once those things have been removed. So the true branch will be pruned. The pruning process is painful, but it is productive and allows you to increase in fruitfulness and glorify God all the more. As a believer, you ought to expect to experience trials in your life and endure them with a heart of gratitude for the work God is doing in you through them. You also need to be active in the pruning process, examining your life for anything that causes you to sin and taking every action to remove it. So, we've been considering some of the characteristics of the true branch, the true follower of Jesus, as he himself described in this picture. We've seen how the true branch is attached to the true vine, Jesus Christ, and has received life from him, new life, true life that lasts beyond the death of their physical body. We've seen how the true branch does bear fruit, growing more and more Christ-like in their character as the Holy Spirit works in their life. And we've seen how the true branch will be pruned by God, who is constantly molding and shaping them to become more and more fruitful. We've also seen how the true branch is active throughout all of these processes. The true branch actively remains in Christ by building their relationship with him and learning to depend on him for everything. The true branch makes every effort to develop Christ-like characteristics and eagerly seeks to live a fruitful life which glorifies God and demonstrates that they are his. And the true branch will seek out, recognize, and cut off those things in their life which are not pleasing to God and which are hindering their fruitfulness. The question we all need to ask is, does that describe me? Am I a true branch? Or am I a dying, withered branch that's not connected to the vine? Well, but for the grace of God, that's where we would all be. But the way is open for you to be grafted onto the true vine, to turn away from your sin and receive forgiveness and new life through Jesus Christ. Will you turn to Jesus today and receive this gracious free gift that he offers you? Let's all stand as we pray together. Lord, we thank you for this clear picture you have given us in your word, which shows us where we stand before you and what the nature of our relationship with you is like. Thank you that you have not abandoned us all to be dead branches, but that you have provided a way for us to be grafted onto the true vine, to draw near to you, to be forgiven, and to receive new life through Jesus Christ. Help us not to think that we can just live life our own way and that it will be good enough. Rather, help us all to recognize that we are powerless without you, and that we need to receive the new life that Jesus offers us. We pray that we would be people who remain in you, and that you will remain in us. Help us to be actively deepening our relationship with you and seeking to live lives which glorify you. May the Holy Spirit be working in us so that we will be bearing more and more fruit in our lives. Help us to recognize and be ruthless in removing those things which are not pleasing to you and are hindering our fruitfulness. And as we face trials, struggles, and pain in our lives, please give us a right perspective through which to see them. And be our strength and portion, holding us firmly by our hand through those times of pruning, so that we can come out of them knowing that you were never closer to us than during those difficult times, when you were shaping us to become even more fruitful and glorifying to you. Thank you, Lord, that your word and your promises are always sure, that we can know with certainty where we stand with you, because of passages like this one, which give us such a clear picture of this. May we all be true branches who attach ourselves to Jesus, who receive your life, who remain there, and who bear fruit which glorifies you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.